Off the Ball.
GAA.
Junior club players around the country would get the same attention. Players are targeting McPhail, and he has to be ready for it.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
And Quinlan is here with us. The travel thing, right? Andy Farrell obviously makes... We've talked about travel a lot on the show. But for Ulster, it was like, oh, we can't do it. And that was the start of the end. Andy Farrell's always like, if something bad happens, bring it on. And there's a bit of that coming from Leinster. Like, yeah, it's going to be hard, but let's go for it.
You know what? It might be what they need after what happened in the Champions Cup final. A bit of a tough path and journey galvanise you a little bit. Something like this could really bring them together. And I think they're 4-point favourites. Leinster are still a very strong side, very physical side, loads of options, big impact off the bench. And yeah, so it's a tricky one. There's no time difference, which is maybe it's an hour, but there's no jet lag scenario here. I think the logistics of getting there yesterday and getting people out there,
probably, that's the most important thing to work.
Yeah, probably. And look, people listening might say, economy or business class is trying to get business class seats for players who've just...
The tall ones. He would mention Sean McCarthy needs a business class seat. So I do wonder, do the scrum halves
always get
economy?
I think they're trying to get as many as the 23 to go out. Obviously, the URC work with them and try and help in that role, and the flights are subsidised or whatever contribution the URC make. I'm sure they have to, you know, pay a tranche of money over, and it's just how they decide and decipher that, but the vast majority would have, they'd try and get those business class seats if they're available. But I don't know, we'll hear during the week how they travelled.
Yeah.
Might have been going BA and from London, others through Dubai, Qatar, things like that. So I'd say there would have been not everybody probably travelled together. Who knows, they'll come out and tell us in the next few days. But it's a tough one because you're going to altitude, and they've decided to go obviously very early, as quickly as possible after the Ulster game, get there, trying to acclimatise. And you saw when Munster were out there back in April, they actually went to Cape Town and came up
just for the day
to play the Bulls game. I think the day before played the Bulls game, and then they went back out again and came back up to Joburg again. They stayed in Cape Town for a few days. So, it'll be, it's obviously an iconic stadium, Loftus-Versfeld, and it's a great atmosphere. And I think there was 18,000 there at the weekend for the Benetton game. And I saw someone saying online, some South African Bull supporter, that it'll be close to full on next Saturday. So it's... it'll be
and then Ireland are back there a month later.
Yeah, it's strange. it's a situation that they'll be back in a few weeks. Many of the same players, but going back to what you said at the start, Ger, I think it'll really, this could have a real positive effect on them. Obviously, it's a tough place to go, and they're a very physical side, the Bulls. But it's an exciting kind of journey for him. There's a big prize for him, and who knows what will happen in Limerick on Saturday. Glasgow could beat Munster, and they could have their Croke Park final. You know, that was, from a logistics point of view, penciled in for Croke Park.
How did Leinster play against Ulster? It felt like when the score got out of control that it was game over.
Yeah, they exerted their dominance and their physicality at times, and... you've got to applaud Leinster, Ulster, in a sense that, given the injuries they've had in the last couple of weeks, particularly up front, the effort that they put in, the physicality they brought. But for me, as a neutral kind of, and watching a game like that, you're thinking, you're expecting that, yes, the narrative is Ulster are going to throw everything at it. Leinster can absorb the moments, don't have to be at their very, very best. But still, they packed that punch when they needed to and got the job done, scored 6 tries.
Were they unfortunate when the game was a bit closer that Caelan Doris didn't get penalised?
Yes.
So that should have been a penalty try?
could have been very easily. I've seen them given, and
at the start of the season, that gets given all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah. And Ulster can feel a little bit hard done by. Six penalties each in the game, so it was a very low scoring game as regard a low a number of penalties. So I think it was an exciting game. The ball was in play a lot. Both sides were thrown around, and that's the only chance Ulster had, was really kind of throw caution to the wind. But it just had the feeling with quarterfinals and semifinals of any competitions, they're cagey, they're nervy, and we didn't see a huge kind of exciting atmosphere on Friday night in Thomond Park, even the performance of Munster. And I suspect the other quarterfinals were the same. You know, Glasgow was cagey against the Stormers. They weren't at their best. The Bulls weren't at their best against Benetton. I think all four teams were just trying to
stay alive,
keep
for this
it
game.
Simple, yeah. Not over show their hands, get the job done, you know, try and exert that pressure up front. And then you're playing opponents who were all underdogs, who were playing with a little bit more freedom. So it's intriguing because you don't need bonus points. You don't need to score four tries. You don't need points difference, any of that stuff. It's about keeping it simple, and that's what we saw a lot of at the weekend from all the four winners of the quarterfinals.
It'll be interesting to see how often Leinster take points or kick to the corner in the game against Bulls, right?
Well, yes, and I think it makes no odds. As I said, they like any points available in Pretoria on Saturday have to be taken. You know, you have a bit more distance with the kicks. You know, they're not going to be kicking from the halfway line near the touchline with penalties that are just a low percent, really, really low percentage. I think they're not going to change dramatically if it's on to go into the corner and try some sort of variation or maul situation in the lineout. I think they'll do it, but you've got to be really sensible here. It doesn't matter if you win 3-0. It's about getting a result in Pretoria, and I think they're in a really strong position now. Getting through the weekend was important for them. It looks like Jack Conan and Gary Ringrose. We're hearing about Gary Ringrose for weeks, that he's available for weeks. I think there is a small here in the media that he had a little bit of a setback with the shoulder a couple of weeks ago, and that's what, they would have fully expected him to be back at this stage. So
he's not going to go straight into the team, though, is he?
Like, it's unlikely.
And do you put him on the bench? Because
possibly if he's trained, we're hearing that he, again, you've got speculating around injuries, but that he's fully trained and participated for the last couple of weeks. So
right.
If he's got enough of, tested it enough in contact, the only thing is the match sharpness then. But someone like Gary Ringrose is kind of, has that ability, I think, in that athleticism to just...
Harsh on Osborne to be coming out of the team at this stage.
Yeah, I don't think the team will change. I don't think it'd be... big call to put him straight into the team, particularly over there. But even having him back around, we've seen him, being water carrier, message carrier for the last while. He's a very experienced player now. So
do Leinster have the best water boys in the world? Jack Nienaber and Gary Ringrose.
Yeah.
World class basics.
They do, yeah.
This episode of Jake Humphrey's podcast brought to you by... Anyway, sorry, I got sidetracked there.
Yeah.
Will they go 6-2 in South Africa? Do you expect that? Because that's what they've done against the big teams. Bigger physical teams, I mean.
It is a bigger physical team as well, the Bulls. We saw the game in March. They were incredibly dominant. I was doing commentary for that game. The Bulls were very, very physical early on, caused Leinster problems at the scrum.
It was a great game. And then
after halftime, the Cavalry came on and some of the internationals back. And it was a mix. And it was kind of half and half team for Leinster. And then you had some of the internationals coming on and the change in the second half. That was one of Leinster's most impressive performances of the season, particularly in that second half. They were just superb with the pace, the tempo, the accuracy around the breakdown, physicality. They need one of them for 80 minutes on Saturday. I think you could look at the Bulls game, and I think Leinster will have enough experience in the coaching team and the players to not kind of get buy in too much to the Bulls winning 30 points to 23 against Benetton, and Benetton scoring tries and causing them problems at the weekend. The good news for Leinster is Curtly Arnsa, which is very unfortunate for him. I think he's a phenomenal player. He's one of the best best wingers in the world, if not, he's right up there anyway, and he's been sensational for South Africa once he's in the last, you know, at the World Cup and for the Bulls. So it looks like he's out for a couple of weeks. He fractured his jaw at the weekend, so he's a big, he scored the first two tries. He just pops up and scores tries. So he's a loss. But, you know, ultimately, they'll be well up for it as well. They'll know that this is a big team coming to their home ground as well.
With all the speculation that there has been about what's happening with Prendergast, he gets named as the replacement and then produces a moment of absolute genius. He's not leaving. There's no way Lance will.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so at this stage. And that's the noise that's coming out now, that it's not going to happen. And
they're picking him. Yeah, for these games now, in a way.
You can't blame Leinster. They couldn't suddenly just propel him in during the season. He's been had involvements in games, but I think now they've been kind of forced to keep him at the coalface and get him involved more to try and convince the player as well. Listen, I don't think he was ever going to be unsettled and saying, you know, I think it was all down to whether Leinster were going to be starting him and having him involved next year. We spoke about this and how much involvement he'll have. He'll have a lot more involvements. I just, you know, people talk about the chip kick over and the when he controlled the ball or kicked it up on his foot, showed he's the bit of magic and the skill that he has. What was more impressive for me was an overthrow at the line-out where he gathers the ball, not, you know, 10 yards out from the Leinster line, gets tackled by Nick Timoney and one or two others and is able to fight in that contact, win the collision, place the ball and not get turned over. Because he's slight in stature when you look at him, but he's actually physically quite strong.
Yeah.
In Wiry. Contact. Yeah, he is. He obviously has strength. He's going to fill out more. But that stuff impressed me. You know, that contact, that physical collision. And I'm a backer, I'm thinking as an out half coming into contact here,
I'm gonna smash him.
But he was able to, you know, win that fight. So
I keep making the point, Finn Smith's only a year older than him and has just won the premiership in England, maybe fortuitously with the red card that Bath got. But anyway, he's been kind of one of their main, and it would be great to see what Prendergast could do with the responsibility over the next 12, 14, 18 months.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you've got unless
We'll see a lot more of him.
Okay.
We will see a lot more of him.
What about Munster at the weekend? Was that, as you say, it's a kind of nervy enough situation where you're heavy favourites. Everybody expects you to be able to win. You just need to win because there's a big prize coming and that's a home semi-final against a team who will get your juices flowing a bit more.
In the four semi-finals or quarter-finals, you could say the exact same. Fans turning up at the stadium, people watching going, oh, we want this free-flowing game of rugby and we want to be on the front foot. And honestly, coaches or players don't really care at that point. Okay, you'd love to get a, you know, it's always nice to get this lovely performance where you're throwing the ball around and you're scoring tries. You have to look at the psychology of the underdog and the away team. You know, there was four home wins at the weekend, so the four away teams, they're thinking, we've got to go and settle the opposition, you know, put pressure on them, force a bit of doubt in their minds. And all four did, in the sense that Munster, they started well. Zeebo gets a great try very early in the game. And Munster actually played really well for the first 20 minutes, I thought. They were moving the ball brilliantly, getting space, keeping the ball alive, quite accurate and not being sloppy, you know, with the ball in contact, all that kind of stuff. Ospreay's got a brilliant try with a chip kick over and a little bit of magic. Keelan Giles scores that, which brought him back into the game. But, you know, the psychology of being out there in the field then is about keeping it simple at times and just getting, you know, kicking penalties. And that's what they did brilliantly in the second half. I think they lost their way for a period after about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, but then defended brilliantly. Ospreys had a, you know, sustained pressure before halftime. So, again, it's kind of that flat feeling that you would get. And you do get, but ultimately it's just about getting the job done. Can you get away with that maybe next week? No. the intensity levels have to increase as regards the quality of scoring, and that doesn't matter because we see sometimes you see lots of tries in rugby, but even some in some games you don't see huge amount, but that intensity, and I think it will increase dramatically. There's a bit of an edge between Glasgow and Munster, a bit of niggle.
It goes back
to the Conor Murray days of them playing each other very regularly when Gregor Townsend was coaching them. Munster probably winning most of those games, even in Glasgow, and Glasgow probably just being a little bit frustrated and angry that Munster were able to find a way of beating them. And there was a bit of an edge created there, a few little niggly bits in the games, and they kind of continued on and seeped into that.
Murray's standing leg was hit twice in the same game.
Yeah, and it was kind of targeted a few times in a few of the games, and they were trying to get at him, but people, you know, rightly spoke about, you know, trying to injure a player in that situation is not so, it wasn't a nice situation for him. There's a little bit of niggle, fellas grabbing each other by the jerseys, verbals, all that kind of stuff. Both sides, no big deal to me. It's all part and parcel of finding a way and an edge. And Munster found a way to win most of those games. But that niggle is still there. But look, if you look at the Glasgow side that's going to be picked at the weekend, it's scattered with starting internationals for Scotland. They have a bit of ballast about them, a bit of that edge that you need.
They're 7-point underdog, is that about right? You'd make?
Probably, but Munster have got to be a lot better. They're not going to get away with this week. Been lateral and throwing the ball around and thinking, you know, hoping to be cohesive and all that stuff. There's a bit of old dog, old school kind of physicality required in a game like this. Both of them will have to kind of rip into each other and be really aggressive and get the crowd behind them. And you know, that's what Munster need this weekend. The prize is obvious. You're in a final the week after at home. If you win, if you don't, you're on holidays, season over. So I think that's why these semi-finals will crank up a bit emotionally, Ger, for all, you know, for both of them. They're crackers of games, really, to look forward to.
Any concerns at all just about the injury list at Munster just starting to tick up a little
course,
bit?
Yeah. Like
the front row they had to bring off the bench was excellent the last day, so there is depth, but it is being affected in other departments of the team.
Well, when you don't have a second row on the bench again, so you're relying on RG Snyman to kind of, he went the 80 minutes. His match fitness and his general fitness isn't to where it is. We know it can be, and when it's very difficult for a player to come back from all the injuries and stuff like that and setbacks. But having that ability to bring on, you know, Thomas Ahern is hampers him a bit. If they get Nankivell back, and Frisch and Nankivell are in the centre, they're very creative, but they're also very physical, and they can give them a lot of options. I think they need to, you know, tighten up a little bit in the basics as well, and just stick to their game plan and be more accurate in what they're doing. Look, Jack Crowley has been brilliant in the run. I think the last week just lost his way a little bit. The team have lost their shape a little bit. But again, it's a psychological thing. They've been on an incredible run, you know, of wins. So I think it's just, you know, they're on holidays if they don't win it Saturday, and if they don't raise the level, I think Glasgow could cause them serious problems in Thomond Park. But it's nothing to be concerned about, and I think they deserve massive credit for getting to this point, because I think, you know, the injuries have certainly hampered a little bit and caused problems, but they've got results in the last few weeks to put them in this position. So it's kind of one last push for them to try and get to a final at least, and you know, then it's one last shove, you know, but
I don't want to lead the witness here and suggest you I have in mind here when I ask this question, because we're talking about Munster, but with Hugo Keenan out, who is the best Irish fullback in form at the moment?
We don't know really. I think who will be picked is Jimmy O'Brien. I don't think Zeebo has is in the picture. That's the reality. He's not in the picture here. So I know where you're going with this. Yeah, he's playing very well. He's playing very well and has played very well for the last period of time. The unfortunate thing for him is he hasn't played enough of matches in the last 2 years. Just being in the consistently doing it, and that's the unfortunate thing for him. Could he do it at the top level for 80 minutes? Probably not, because of match fitness and match practice, but his talent is undoubted, and his ability, you know, even for the try, the way he kind of can swerve his body, use the fend against a player who's really quick, Keelan Giles. So he wasn't just running, going to beat him for pace. They're both really fast. The way he was able to swerve and use the handoff to score that try. But yeah, in some ways, people keep asking me, why is he retiring? Would you get another year out of him? Possibly, but it's down to durability. And the durability side of it hasn't been great in the last 3 years since he's come back. Up to his recent run of matches, he'd only played 31 games in 3 years. So that's where the problem lies. And maybe the player doesn't want to go on. And sometimes you get both sides of it. That there's doubt there about the durability, and maybe the player has enough himself. So, look, I think he feels comfortable to go. The Munster fans would love for him to stay. I'd love for him to stay. And I'd love to see Simon Zeebo every week fit and doing his magic, because he's a unique talent, and we've seen some special moments out of him throughout the years. But he won't get the fairy tale ending of two tests in South Africa, I don't think.
I saw Roy O'Connor making the point that John Cooney played so well for Ulster against Leinster that he should be in the picture. There's no sense of them bringing somebody who's been outside of the system for as long as Cooney has in for a situation like the games in South Africa.
No sense in a way that...
I don't have... any idea?
No, I don't think so. Look, John Clooney has always been a top player. He's just fallen out of favour with the players who are ahead of him. He's obviously been very frustrated at times. He's been in and out of the Irish setup.
Is he ahead or behind of Casey at the moment, for example?
He's behind him, because Craig Casey's in the system, and I think Craig Casey's playing really well.
Is Casey playing better than
John Cooney?
Cooney's
box kicking better at the moment? Yeah, he is. Like, his box kicking was phenomenal. His general decision making, all that kind of stuff, was very high. But I think Casey's pass is superb, and I think he's playing really, really well in the last period of time for Munster. And he's much more controlled in his performances. I think he got a bit excited at one point on Friday night when he was involved in a tackle around the front of a line-out. He was laughing about that after the game, but he needs to just stay on it. But look, John Cooney is someone... If you had a couple of injuries, Ger, that John Cooney was starting in Cape Town or in Pretoria or in Durban, he's a player who could easily acquit himself at that level. And he's been very unlucky in a sense that he hasn't been favoured at times when possibly he should have been over the last number of years.
All right. Quinny, good stuff.
Cheers.
Thanks a million. 12 minutes past 9 this morning. So what